A lot of interesting stories, I'm telling you, in the Old Testament. And David, one of my favorite Old Testament characters, there's a lot of interesting stories. You read about David and you wonder, why was he a man after God's own heart? But I thought about that a lot during my time Bible reading and all. And I believe, Brother Wayne, the reason David was a man after God's own heart. Now, this is my theory. I know that nobody really knows, but I believe he knew how to worship. He knew how to repent. I mean, David knew when he was wrong, and Nathan the prophet called his hand and said, "Thou art the man." David knew how to get things right, didn't he? He knew how to repent. And he's the psalmist that wrote us a lot of those psalms while he was over in those caves of Adullam, when he was running for his life, when he was in the hills, fleeing from Saul, and knowing that he was going to be the next king of Israel. It's amazing. I think about how he was in the sides of that cave, and Saul and his men come in, and they were asleep there. And David and them, they're standing back here and on in the back, dark shadows of that cave. I can imagine how dark it was there. You know, David had the opportunity. God had caused a deep sleep. Three times. He could have took Saul's life. But he knew that wasn't necessary. One occasion he said, "Should I touch God's anointed?" You know, there's a lot of people today that will touch God's anointed. And you look at their lives, and I'm going to tell you, their lives is filled with turmoil, it's filled with trouble. You better be careful how you treat God's man. And I'm not saying that for my benefit, I'm just saying that for anybody. You better be careful what you say about the man of God, and you better be careful how you treat him. I tell you what, I'm glad God always... I was raised in a preacher's home. And I'm glad God put a respect in my heart for men of God. I used to, even when I was out of will of God, I liked to sidle up around them old men of God. I liked to get around them old men like Rance Cain. Did you ever hear of Rance Cain, Bro Wayne? Old mountain preacher, old millennial. But I'm going to tell you, he had multitudes upon multitudes of people that got saved in them revival meetings up yonder in North Georgia mountains. And he was a man that had paid the price. And he had the touch of God on him. David, he had great respect for the man of God, for the king. He had for God's anointed. And many stories about David, even from his youth there. He was a man of war. He knew how to deal with lions. He knew how to deal with bears. He trusted the Lord. He killed a bear as a teenager and a lion. There's when he's looking after his father's sheep. He grabbed him by the beard and smote him. And he said, "This uncircumcised Philistine," talking about Goliath, "shall be like one of them." He knew who to trust. We need to learn who to trust today. And we can find out who to trust if we'll read these Old Testament characters. None of these patriarchs, none of these were perfect people. And I like the honesty of our Bible. That it tells us what man is and what man has done. It don't try to cover it up or mince it with words. It just tells us. And I like this story in 1 Kings. If you got a Scofield Bible, he's entitled it David's Declining Strength. First verse is, if you'll stand, first we'll read through verse... Let's just read a little bit. I normally just read verse 1 through 4. But the Bible says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, 'Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat.' So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king,' and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Rea, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zeholoth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's son, and all the men of Judah, the king's servant. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to come and gather this evening. Thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you again for the honesty of our Bible. It tells us of the lives of men, Lord, the dangers that they faced, the problems that they encountered, Lord, what sin done to their lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just pay attention when we read the Old Testament. Lord, we know every word is there for a purpose. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts for just a little bit tonight. Lord, that you'd help us, and we'll give you glory and praise. If there's one here lost tonight, touch that heart, Lord, and save them by your grace. Lord, we love you, and thank you again for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Help us now for just a little bit, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Chapter 1 there, verse 1 says, now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. I want to preach just a little bit this evening, Lord, be my helper. You pray for me on the dangers of cooling off. The dangers of cooling off. Here we see in chapter 1, at the beginning here, we see David's authority that he had been king of Israel for 40 years. He was anointed with the horn of oil. Samuel brought over there in chapter 16, I believe, of 1 Samuel. And he come looking for that God had told him to go over to the house of Jesse. And we know that he anointed David with a horn of oil. We know that that when he anointed Saul, he anointed him with a vial of oil. That vial of oil standing for a limited kingdom, and that horn of oil representing a long-lasting kingdom there. We know that we see David's authority that he had been a king for 40 years. We see his age. He was 70 years old, and he was old and stricken in years. You know, by the course of nature, we're looking, and I'm seeing in my lifetime, I'm seeing people get older and older. One day I looked, and I was among the older generation. I always thought myself a young preacher, you know, back yonder. But, hey, I got out of that about 10, 15 years ago, and I've done got amongst those that are growing older. Man's allotted 70, which is 70 years old. And that's what David was at this time. He was 70 years old. I began to look, and I thought, well, where did I pick that up at in this message? But over in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4, David's age was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. And so we know that this is the end of his reign. So you search the Scriptures for, and you find the answer to these questions. So we know that David was around 70 years old right here at this time. So we see David's affliction. He said it there in verse 1, said he got no heat. So we see as we get older, we know that things begin to change. Our bodies begin to change, and I've noticed in the last few years that my hands get cold. I mean, they'll get so cold sometimes when it's cold outside that they'll get numb. I really rely on hand warmers now when I go hunting. I used to didn't fool them things much. You know, I put on a pair of gloves, Brother Keith, and I was okay. You know, my feet has always been hard to keep warm, but I'm finding now that they're even harder to keep on. I buy them 1,200-gram Thinsulate boots, you know, and put on socks, and I'll drop some of them foot warmers if it's real cold down in there, because as we get older, our body tends to get to that point we can't stand cold anymore. I know my dad, he has got 90 years old, and I noticed that he can't stand the cold like he used to, and he's always been a little where he couldn't stand it, but he'd always have warm clothes, but he could handle it up till last 15, 15 years. I mean, 74. He was good up to about time he got 74. And when he started getting 74, he began to get a little more feeble. Me and him was climbing all over the mountains, by the way, when he was around 70, 72, 73 years old. And then when he began to got about 74. And I think if he'd have pushed himself a little bit more, he would have had a few more good years. But people are different. David here, we know that David's life had been a rough life. I mean, he had been on the battlefields. He had no doubt stayed out in the elements with the sheep at many times, even as a young man. And we know that the sin that David had got involved in, and how sin deteriorates our bodies. And we find here that David has got to the latter years of his life, and he's stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. I mean, they just couldn't do nothing with him because of his age. David's problem was physical. His body was shutting down and he was dying. There in verse 1, I believe, tells us there was a process taking place, and that process is taking place spiritually this evening in the lives of Christians today. It's a cooling down process. As we look across this land, I remember back yonder when you go to the house of God, you walk up on the grounds and you could sense the presence and the power of God. There was a respect for the house of God. Now, I do know that there was things went on. People would go in those parking lots. They cut circles and things. But overall, there was a respect for the house of God in those days. But even now, though, we're seeing that cooling process taking place. Before David died physically, his body first started cooling down. And before the local church body dies, there is first a cooling down process that takes place. They tried everything they could to help him. However, every attempt they tried failed. What a lot of preachers are trying to do for cold and indifferent saints today in this day and hour that we're living in. They're trying everything. I mean, they tried covering up David there in verse 1. They said, let's cover him up. Hey, they tried clothing him. They said, let's put a few extra clothes on David. And then they said, either of them tried a concubine. Said, let's warm him up. But that didn't work. And look at what happened. Let's look at just a few things, by the way, and try to just sort of apply them to our spiritual condition today of what happened to David when his fire and his body started cooling off. Let me say, number one, that the discomfort set in. There in verse 1. Discomfort set in. David was uncomfortable. I mean, here's a man that had been active from a youth. I mean, he had been out in the fronts of the war. Hey, the reason he got in trouble over there with Bathsheba, he should have been out on the front lines with the men instead of staying back. And he got in deep trouble. But David had had, no doubt, a hard life. I mean, he had put his body through a lot of different things when he was running from Saul and even from Absalom. I mean, he was out in the elements. Even one of the priests told Absalom when they were looking at him, that when they was talking about going in and trying to overcome the group that he was with, they said, your daddy won't be there. Said, he'll be in a pit, or some words, he'll be hid. I mean, he was a man of war. He knew what to do. He knew how to do it. He knew how to survive. He was a survivalist. He'd put Rambo to shame probably today. And some of these guys that we glorify. Hey, David was a great man of war. He knew how to deal with things, but here we find him that discomfort is set in on his 70-year-old man. Most of the time we see 70-year-olds are still pretty active today. Brother Allen, he's very active. I hope I'm as active as Brother Allen is when I get 70 years old. I'm 60 and I'm still pretty active, but I get tired easier than I used to. And I'm a pusher. I push myself. But we see that discomfort set in on David. Hey, can I say that when you start cooling off in your spiritual life, that there'll be you'll get uncomfortable in your life. You'll get, number one, you'll get uncomfortable with the preacher. That's usually where it sets in. You start cooling off in your spiritual life, hey, you'll get uncomfortable with the preacher. You're always on guard. You think that he's picking on you. You got him up. You know, you're ready. And everything he says, you think it's just pointed at you. But you'll get uncomfortable with a preacher when you start cooling off. Hey, you'll get uncomfortable with God's people. You won't want to hang around with God's people like you used to. I've seen it time after time and with kids and young people today, and I know where you're at. I know the peer pressure that's on you. Hey, but I've done seen it too many times. Kids that'll be on fire for God, and then when that cooling process starts taking place, hey, they get uncomfortable, first of all, with the preacher. Hey, they'll shy away. And by the way, what'll happen when moms and dads get uncomfortable with the preacher, they'll talk about him, and then the kids will start sort of silent away from him. When they used to come up and they won't get close to the man of God, then we'll find out that they'll start shying away from it. You know something's going on then. You start cooling off. People that was with you when you first got to a place, when they begin to cool off, they get used to you, then they get uncomfortable with you. They don't want to be around you. But same way with people, you don't want to be around the people of God. I'm going to tell you, light exposes darkness. And when we get into darkness, we get into fooling with things that we shouldn't be fooling with. We don't want to hang around with the people of God. We'd rather hang around with our friends at work or our friends at school. And it's okay, but find you some Christian friends at school. There are some Christian friends over there at school. Do you know it? If they're not saved and they're friends and you love them, young people, try to win them to God. Bring them to church. We'll love them. I promise you. I'll not embarrass you. If you'll bring your friends to church, just bring them on. And we'll love them and we'll make them feel welcome. Because I know a lot of situations, a lot of them, they're just lost. I mean, they're just doing, Brother Keith, what you preach. They're doing what lost people do. They've got their guard up. But we don't need our guard up. We need to stay hot. We need to stay on fire for God. We need to keep the fires burning. Because I'm going to tell you, when you start cooling off, you get uncomfortable with the preacher. You get uncomfortable with people. Hey, you get uncomfortable with prayer meetings. It's amazing we won't do other things more than we want to do, be around the things of God. Church is about spiritual things. And it's good to have, we have fun. You know, I think we can get together as a group. We can go to meetings. We can go to, we can go camping. We can go fishing together. And we can have a good time. But I'm going to tell you, when you start cooling off, hey, you'll get uncomfortable with prayer meetings. We don't have enough prayer meetings. I tell you what, if we at Open Door was doing what we need to be doing, we'd be having some prayer meetings. We'd be praying for revival. If we ever see revival, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to get in that secret place that you've been talking about. And we all fail in that matter of getting in there and spending time alone with God a lot of times the way we should. I promise you, if we'd get our sins confessed, we'd forsake our sins, and we'd get alone with God, and we'd see things happen. We'd see some people get saved. Even in this cold, hard, dark times that we're living in, God's the same. That's what it's all about. He's going to save people. You get uncomfortable with the preacher. You get uncomfortable with people. You get uncomfortable with the prayer meetings. You get uncomfortable with the principles of the faith. You get uncomfortable with the principles of the faith. There's just some good principles that we ought to have. Some good standards that's always been upheld about, at least when we come to the house of God. You know, I know everybody's not going to do like I want them to do all the time. I didn't think about this when I was looking at this. But I'm going to tell you, hey, you'll get uncomfortable with the principles. We go to church. We ought to go looking like we're going to church. I don't have to get no more explicit. You know where I'm headed. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't think about this. The principles. We've tore those principles down. You'll get uncomfortable with prayer meeting. You'll get uncomfortable with principles. You'll get uncomfortable with the pressure if you're not careful. Hey, we'll let up in a lot of areas because we don't want the pressure from society. We don't want the pressure from the congregation a lot of times. And I've seen preachers that have let down the principle, the standard, so to speak, because they don't like the pressure. They're afraid if they keep on pressing the issue, that they'll might have to get a job. They'll run them off. And there's a lot of churches will. You keep hammering on the rock, keep hammering on the rock. The rock's going to break eventually. But that's what we got to do. We just got to keep hammering on the rock. It'll either break to the good or it'll break to the bad. But you'll get uncomfortable with the pressure. You'll start changing things because you don't want people around you to say anything about the way that you live. They'll be calling you a holy roller or a Pharisee sometimes even. See, if they can't explain things, they'll go to that part. They'll either call you a legalist or they'll call you a Pharisee. Or they'll call you fanatical. I've heard people call my dad fanatic all my life. I had one guy, young guy, one night when I was a teenager, I was out where I shouldn't have been, and that guy was where he shouldn't have been. He was a police officer, and he knew my dad, and my dad had preached in the church where he belonged and where his family belonged, and he told me, he said, "Your daddy's a fanatic." I said, "I guess he is." He believes what he believes, whether you believe what he believes or not. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen him not wobble on that axle. He's still going the same trail that he's always walked. Where a lot of people's compromise, them old-timers, they won't compromise. I've noticed that about men like Edgar Thomas. I've never seen him wobble. He might have mellowed out a little bit in his latter years, but hey, he never changed his way of thinking about principles or anything else. He was straight on. Now, he did relax in some areas of doctrinal issues, I guess, far as he used to be pretty staunch Calvinist. He'd tell you he was a Calvinist. But he renounced some of that later on in years. I mean, he told them up at... He said, "I want to get up at Faith Baptist Camp." I heard him preaching. He said, "I want to get one thing straight." He said, "I ain't never believed in a limited atonement." Brother Hector was right on. People didn't like him. You know why? Because he believed that when people got saved, that they were different. And they'd be a change. And he didn't try to cut no corners either. He didn't succumb to the pressures of society. He didn't succumb to the pressures of the congregation. We don't have to just be hard all the time. But we ought to have some principles about us that we're willing to stand for, and we ought not succumb to the pressures of the people. My intention is not to please everyone here, but my intention is to please Him. If I can please Him, it'll be okay. I hope you'll be pleased. But if you're not, then I can't have you. I have to take it up with Him because I'm trying to please Him. And I may be wrong about some things. When I get to heaven, I'm not so dogmatic that I think I'm right about everything. We may all get to heaven and find out we're wrong about some things. Some things that we wondered about. Like who was it, Brother Sam? It ain't them things that I don't understand bothers me. It's them things that I understand that bothers me. And where we're cutting back on those things. But when you start cooling off, discomfort is set in. That's what happened with David here. You'll start getting uncomfortable with some things. Then let me say, not only discomfort sets in, but distress comes. David's verses 1 and 2, David's servants are doing anything and everything they can do to try to keep him alive, but nothing will stop the process. Can I say this? God's men are distressed all across this country today. They're always having to pump church members. Hey, you got to pump them. You got to get services to a certain level in this day and hour that we're living in, or we think we ain't been to church. We've learned how to pump people. Pump them up. We have to not only pump members to get services to a certain level, but we have to prime members to get them started on Sunday mornings. Well, not have to prime nobody. Can I say Saturday night, you ought to, about 8 o'clock on Saturday evening, y'all start winding down. Cut the internet off. Get off of Facebook. Cut the television off. Get your showers. Get in the bed by at least 10 o'clock. If you're going to get to church by 10 o'clock. Get up and get the kids ready. But we're always having to prime people to get them going. We come in like this on Sunday morning. Man, boys, if you're going to play video games late, play them on Friday night. And that'll give you Saturday all day to recuperate. Amen. These girls don't do that, I know. No. They don't stay up late. You know, I used to be a night owl. I stayed up late, Brother Keith. I didn't want to go to bed. I was afraid I was going to miss something. You know, I wouldn't have missed a thing. I'm ashamed of it. I used to sit up and watch television. And most of that stuff, I don't care what it is, unless it's the High Chaparral or the Virginian or something like that. They ain't fit to watch today. Amen. You can't hardly turn the television on without some cussing or nudity or something going on. That's right. Amen. And we watch that stuff. No wonder we're in such a mess. Our churches, we're not at spiritual revival. We're not seeing anyone saved. Sunday's the Lord's Day. We ought not to have to pump or prime anybody to get them to come to the house of God and worship on Sunday morning. I appreciate these kids sitting here. They're sitting here, they're still. They're listening. They're attentive tonight. They're listening. I would never want to lead them astray. Amen. But distress set in. Preachers all around this world, all around this country are discouraged, man. They're having to pump members up. They're having to prime them to get people to come to church. There's anything and everything. And I know summertime is vacation time. People are going to go on vacations. Do your vacation. Get your time over and get back in church, you know. We'll probably take off. You know, I ain't never took off a whole lot. Now, September, I'll tell you, Lord willing, and I'm able, September the 12th, if me and Debbie's living and everything's okay, and Daddy and them are not about to die or anything or nobody else, I got a tag that says I can go to Colorado, muzzleloader hunting. And I'm going to go, Lord willing, if I'm able. And my brother's able. By the way, pray for my brother. He's having surgery next Monday. Monday week, he'll go for pre-op on Thursday. He'll have surgery on Monday. And they're doing what you had, two hernias. So he's going to have two hernia repairs. So pray for him that the Lord have him. He's not been feeling good since his wife passed away. We've noticed. And you pray for him. He needs your prayers. And he went out there, and I knew he didn't hunt much when he went out there turkey hunting, and I think he was afraid he was gonna something would happen. He's 68 years old. He's getting near to that 310. But anyway, we've got a tag, and we're going, Lord willing. We're gonna go for 2 weeks. Gonna leave on 12th. Probably be back on 26th. You can't go for less than 2 weeks if you're gonna drive. It'll take us 3 days nearly to get out there. And then we'll hunt on Saturday. We won't hunt on Sunday now. We're not going to hunt on Sunday. So don't nobody think that the preacher's out in Colorado hunting on Sunday. I don't hunt on Sunday. I fished a couple of times when I was a teenager back yonder. When I got out and away from Daddy, he'd have whooped me if he'd have known that I had fished, Brother Wayne. Now, back then, I've been tempted. I used to get tempted, but I never did go. I wouldn't even go for a church, turkey hunting. Because I'd be afraid I'd get on a turkey, and if he's gobbling, I ain't leaving. I'll just be honest with you. I would stay there probably. That's how carnal I am. No, I'm just kidding. But we're going to go, Lord willing. And if you want to go on vacation, go do your vacation. Enjoy your time. And just don't be habitual about it, you know. Every time you turn around, people, sometimes they're doing something on Sunday. They leave the house of God and they put it on the back burner and they go do their thing. But the stress sets in when you start cooling off. You have to pump people. You have to prime them. I like that story. I used to, you know, an artesian well. You know an artesian well. It's just bubbling all the time. Said this preacher one time, this young man, he kept coming back. Every year, he'd come to revival. And said he'd get down there and he said, "Oh, Lord, fill me up with your spirit. Fill me up with your spirit." And after revival would be gone, he was gone. You wouldn't see him for another year. So one year he'd come, he's down there praying, he's crying out to God. He'd done got a hold of the horns of altar. "Lord, fill me up, fill me up." Preacher leaned over. He said, "Don't do it, Lord." Said, "He leaks." That's where a lot of Christians are. They leak. But them are artesian Christians. I like them. They're just always just flowing. I mean, they're just a source of water there all the time. You don't have to pump them up. Some of them old pump waters, you know, you got to pump that well, and you pump it, pump it, pump it. Finally, the water will come, you get your hands down there, and if it ain't a good pump, that thing up. In a minute, it'll be... You'll have to pump it again. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're on today and off tomorrow. I call them roller coaster Christians. They're get up top and they're up and then they're down. And they're up and they're down. They're bipolar Christians. Amen. Don't be like that. And I wasn't making light of bipolar. I know that's a serious thing. But I'm talking about when you start cooling down. Discomfort sets in. Distress sets in. You have to pump members. You have to prime members. You have to push members. A lot of us feel like pushers, don't we? Always having to push, push, push to get something done. Push, push, push to get this and do that. Push, get that and do that. Don't never have to be pushed to do something. Just do it. You know, make provisions and do it. Just like that. What's that Nike commercial? Is that one it is? Just do it. I don't like to push people. And I ain't going to do all that. I'll just be honest with you. I shouldn't have to. And I ain't going to. If you don't want to do it bad enough for the Lord, and I have to push you, you ain't going to get no reward anyway. It's just like making these kids. These kids sometimes, they're obedient, but they do what mom and dad tell them to, but they didn't want to do it. I'll do it, but I want you to know I didn't like it. Do it joyfully. Hey, the Lord bless you. You know what the commandment? Honor thy parents and the Lord, for this is right. God promised long life. My daddy's 90 years old. He must have minded his daddy. He must have honored his daddy and mother. Matter of fact, all of his brothers and sisters are on up here. His second brother is 89. And his third brother is 85, Danny. And his next brother is like 80. His sister is 82. He's got one sister that's... She died at 70. Betty was 78. Really? 78. She died with a heart attack. And then his mother died at 66. His dad died at 93. You want long life? Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Honor him. And you'll honor them. Because that's what he wants you to do. Push members. Pamper members. Pastors are not babysitters. You got to praise members. You got to tell them what a good job they're doing. It won't do no good if they're cooling off on God, because the minute you quit praising them, hey, they'll fizzle out. It's good to tell somebody they're doing a good job. You know, I ain't saying that. But don't be one of those that you got to be praised for everything that you do. You got to be noticed for everything you do. I've seen people like that. They'll have the reward. Here. But I'm going to tell you, them that just does it, that don't never want no recognition. Said, oh, preacher, don't say nothing about that. Some people give big money. They won't recognize for it. They want their name on something. I don't need my name on nothing. Hey, if God can't notice it, putting your name on it ain't gonna you ain't gonna be noticed. You ain't gonna get no reward for it anyway. Push member, pamper member, praise member. Don't be one of them. All right, we're winding down. Discomfort sets in. Distress comes when you begin to cool off. Can I say? This is a biggie. Division starts. Division starts. Verses 5 through 10. Here we see a young man by the name of Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. You watch them, it starts exalting themselves. Hey, they start trying to get themselves in the limelight. Exalt him, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He got himself out there in the forefront. He wanted everybody to notice who he was. Hey, I am Adonijah, David's son. I'm in line to be king. He was older than Solomon. Look at his pride. I mean, he was lifted up in pride. Look at his proclamation. I mean, he had a big mouth and a big ego. And that's where the division started. Look at his preparation. He began to work behind the scenes. I'm going to tell you, people that they begin to cause division like Adonijah, that it all starts behind the scenes. Hey, people come sidling up to you and they start whispering around and telling you this and telling you that about things that's not going exactly right or how things should be. You better be careful. Amen. They're trying to pull you into their little circle. Right. Division starts. When people start... I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen many times. People begin to cool off. Look at his preparation. Look at his position. Verse 6. Bible says, and his father had not displeased him. David knew this was going on. David had a problem with disciplining his children, you know? He had all them wives and it caused problems. You have multiple wives, multiple children. Hey, there's multiple problems. I've seen it. You've seen it. That's why it's better. Stay with the one you got. He was a person of influence. Look at his personality. He was a handsome man. Said he was, and he was also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. Look at his partners. They always have help. Verse 7. Said, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they following Adonijah helped him. So we see there's always partners in division. There's no churches ever split that people didn't have partners. That they lured them away behind the scenes. They set themselves up. Hey, usually it starts beforehand. They'll get themselves in a position where they gain people's influence. I've seen it happen. People think, oh, they've got the answers. They're intelligent. They know more than that old preacher does. Look at his partners. They always have help. Look at his party, verse 9. Said, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zeholoth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But listen to this. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Hey, he didn't call them that were spiritual. Them troublemakers, they won't never fool with those people that's spiritual, that's close to God, and they're trying to do what's right. They're going to get that bunch that's disgruntled. Y'all seen it? Hey, I'm not preaching to the choir. Y'all seen it going around here? Look at his party. Look at his partiality there in verse 8 and 10. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Reah and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. They didn't want nothing to do with the bird. And then verse 10, but Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and his mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. So we see his partiality. He was partial to those that he knew would back his uprising, his rebellion, if he'd have it. There's always rebels. You know what the Bible says about rebellion? Rebellion is as wickedness and stubbornness as iniquity. Them two things, rebellion and stubbornness. Don't be stubborn. God don't like stubborn people. Division stars. And then let me say, fourthly, death stars. After division starts, distress comes, discomfort sets in, then death starts. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Bible says, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Okay, we find that David, coolness started set in, when the discomfort had set in on his body, his physical condition, we see that everybody could see it coming. There in chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, otherwise it shall come to pass when my Lord, this is Bathsheba speaking, I believe, otherwise it shall come to pass when my Lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. She's seen it coming. She's seen that David, you're fixing to go off the scene, and then when you do, then me and Solomon, if you don't do something about this now, me and Solomon are going to be counted as offenders. You've already promised him that he was going to be king. They could see it coming. Did you know people can see it coming in our spiritual condition? Hey, when we begin to cool off for God, we begin to get slack at the house of God. Hey, we begin to get slack in the things of God. We don't want to be a part of the things that's going on. You lose your mobility. That's what happened to David when he began to cool off. He lost his mobility. And you watch, it's going to come to all of us. I mean, in our physical life, one of these days we're going to get, it don't matter how hard we keep pushing it, and we keep pushing it, we're going to lose our mobility. Right now we can get up in the morning, Brother Darrell, and we can move around a little bit, and it won't be long till we'll be feeling pretty good. And we're good for the rest of the day. I notice a lot of times arthritis now. You know, you get up in the mornings, you're hurting, you're stiff. But a little bit, you get to moving them things around a little bit. And everything gets mobile again. But I'm going to tell you, your spiritual condition, when you start cooling off, you get immobile. You don't want to go to church like you used to. It's work. Best thing you can do is just get close to God while you're young. Young people, I'm going to tell you, there's so many old people that I've seen that's got saved in middle age. Hey, if they had it to do over, they would love to go back and got saved when they was younger. I wish I'd have got started younger. I wish I'd have got started when I was a teen. I went to church, but I'll just be honest with you, I wasn't involved like I should have been. I mean, I went to church, I paid tithes, but Brother Darrell, if I'd have got involved and I started memorizing Scripture and everything like I tried the last few years when I first started out, maybe when I got around 36 or so, when I started really trying to memorize Scripture and all, don't tell you, I could probably quote it like Brother Sammy Allen if I'd have started back when I was a teenager. My mind was pretty quick and sharp. I didn't want school. I was always pretty good at school, you know, if I'd have just stayed with it. First 5 years, they say, of a kid's life in school is where they really develop their mind. Now, I hate to say it, but Hillary Clinton, I heard her say that the other day. She was talking about the education program. She's right. The first 5 years of a child's life in school are where they begin to develop, and the school system will tell you the same thing. The early years is when you're going to notice, and some of these kids, Debbie and them has the gifted class. They got the gifted, I believe that's what they call it, huh? Rigor class. And these kids are a little sharper than the others. And these are pre-K. No, kindergarten. They're kindergarten. And some of them are already pretty sharp. They're sharper than others. So if you apply yourself, when you first get saved, you get in, you start living for God and reading your Bible. I can't emphasize enough, kid, read your Bible. Read that Old Testament. Boy, there's some real nuggets in that Old Testament that you can read. You can see what how God has showed us what sin will do to people and not following Him. Abraham, God had told him all the land that he trod on, that he would give it to him. And we see what happened in the lapse of his faith when famine came and he went down out of the land. He got in trouble. Abraham did. He was out there sporting with his wife. What was it? Ahimelech. He seen him, he said, "Why didn't you tell me this was your wife instead of your sister?" He done lied to him. He was feared for his life. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I wanted to make that comment this morning. You know why most people don't witness, Brother Keith? I believe it's because of fear. That's the biggest factor in people not witnessing people, is because we have fear. That's what the filling of the Spirit is for. We get filled with the Holy Ghost, so we'll go out and speak the Word of God boldly. It'll help us with our fear. Live for God while you're young. Some of you have not reached time of accountability. God fingers around your heart and He deals with you. And you come to that realization that you're lost. Move at that time. Call on Jesus. He said, "Whosoever shall call shall be saved." With the heart, man, believing to righteousness. It's not hard to get saved. We make it hard sometimes. And I know people water it down sometimes and everything, and they want you to repeat, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. But I'm going to tell you, it's easy to get saved. If we just look for that, I always refer to Paul Chappell out in Lancaster, California. He went out there, him and his wife was on vacation. They went by and preached at Lancaster Baptist Church 27 or 8 years ago, Brother Keith. He was out there waiting on the preacher to come out to carry him out to eat after he'd preached for him that night, and the preacher was lagging behind. They were in there voting him into the church and hadn't even asked him about it. And they were going on vacation. To make a long story short, Brother Wayne, he accepted finally. They went on their vacation. They were back. They moved back into that place. And now, that whole Antelope Valley, I mean, they've got West Coast Bible College there, and he takes a lot of criticism from people, I promise you, because they're winning a lot of people to God. And you know who's criticizing? Them that ain't doing that. I've listened to him preach. He's pretty straight. He's not in shallow evangelism, the best I can tell. Now, some of his people may be, I don't know, but I do know that them people, you look at his church, the cameras get on it, go on it and look. You can tell those people have been taught. You can tell he's got stable people. If he didn't have stable people, he couldn't have built that big campus that they've got there. They're always building $1 million buildings, $3 million buildings. But people criticize them. We just need to stay fired up. We need to get to the point, get filled with the Holy Ghost, look for the opportunity. Them tracks back there, we need to give that box of tracks out. This summer, them tracks need to be gone. You need to get you some tracks and give them out to people that you come into contact with. You pray over them tracks, I promise you, and hand them to people that you come into contact around here. Kids, give them to your friends. Get you a handful of them tracks. We bought them to give out, not sit back there in the box. And I'm not going to train you probably how to be a soul winner. I'm going to try to teach you how. I'm going to try to tell you that you need to be witnessing to people. But I don't know how to do it. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know how to do it, Brother Darrell. The only thing I know is just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord looks for those opportunities, and when God lays it on your heart, be handing out tracts until He does. You know, and then you're going to come up with that individual that God's working in their heart. You're going to have that divine encounter. Try to open the door. You know, if the door won't open, don't force it open.
Right.
But witness. There's nothing wrong with soul winning. Soul winning is not a bad word. The Bible does say, he that winneth souls is wise. And if you'll be prayerful, you'll stay on fire with God, and you'll look for the opportunity, and you'll live before this lost and dying world, and then you'll give them the Word of God. Memorize you some scriptures. And then if you don't have a tract, you've got enough scripture in your heart. Remember that. Memorize that. John 3:16. Memorize, what is it? Isaiah 1:18. That's a good passage, I think, if I'm remembering right. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. That's it. The other passages. You don't have to know the Roman road. You can carry people over there in the book of Acts where they did tell, where God was doing something, and say, God was doing this. They were preaching repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith always go hand in hand. You can't have repentance without faith, and you can't have faith without repentance. Repentance is a requirement. It's a change of mind. It's a change of mind about your sin, about yourself, about the Savior that loved you and died and shed His blood on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Don't cool off. The dangers of cooling off. Don't become immobile. Don't lose your mobility. Don't lose your mind. Don't let the devil have your mind. A lot of people have got their mind so absorbed with the things of this world that they've lost their mind. A dead man has no conscience. Many have cooled off on God. They're only way, one breath away from dying and drying up spiritually. Don't be that person. Stay on fire for God. Stay close to Him. Stay alert. Knowing this, that your adversary, the devil, he's walking about seeking whom may devour, and he wants to devour you. He's looking for those weak ones. He's looking for those that are cooling off. He's destroyed a lot of people. Lord, we sure do thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for the message tonight. Thank You for Your touch, Your help. Lord, I pray that You'll help open door. Lord, we love this, Your people. Lord, I pray that You'll help us just to have a greater desire, Lord, to just set an example before a lost and dying world. Lord, no matter what we might think, Lord, help us just to yield ourselves to You. Lord, help us to have that time of prayer each day. Help us to read the Bible every day. Lord, help us to look for those opportunities. Lord, help us to give out tracts. Lord, help us to do what we can do for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Lord, we love You. Thank You again for the privilege to be here. Have Your way through the remainder of this service. Speak to hearts, and we'll give You glory and praise. In Jesus' name.